Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. You know, we've been in this series on I Love My Church, and we had a special guest last week, and I didn't get to share this message, so I had one more message I wanted to share in this series about the church, and so hopefully this will end the series this morning, unless the Lord tells me different next week, but I have something I want to share with you. It's been on my heart, and so let's read the scripture together. We'll begin reading in Hebrews 10, verse 19, and read down through verse 25. Hebrews 10, 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he, that is God, is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I want to share a message with you today entitled Divorced from the Church. Let's pray one more time. Father, before I begin sharing the message this morning, I wanted to pause and pray one more time and ask you, Lord, to please help everyone here and especially our virtual audience this morning to understand that what I'm about to share with them is coming from the Word of God, but it is coming from a pastor's heart of love. And Lord, I pray that you will do a work in us today. And so, Lord, speak to us now through your holy, inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. May the Holy Spirit drive home to our hearts the truth that we're about to hear today. Lord, help us to search our hearts and to be sure that we're in the faith and that we're living as we should, that we're walking in obedience to you and to your word and living in your will. And I thank you and I praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you aware that in-person church attendance has declined in America? Especially since COVID. Let me share some information with you that I gleaned this week in my preparation, or actually last week in my preparation for study for this message. Since around 2000, the year 2000, weekly or nearly weekly attendance has declined from 42% to about 30% among U.S. adults. The proportion of Americans who rarely or never attend religious services has doubled over the past 50 years. Many people who were significantly involved are now only connected remotely through social media and online services. You know, several years ago, when we began broadcasting our services on television, which we were already doing FM radio, but when we began broadcasting on television and social media and YouTube, you know, our goal was to reach people who could not attend in-house worship. That means those who perhaps had to work, and but yet they could watch online, or those especially that were impaired in some way and physically unable to come to church on Sunday morning. That was our goal, and to reach unreached people as well, because there are times when God will lead an unsaved person to go to a broadcast and listen to a broadcast, especially if the title of the message happens to capture their attention, and it may be something that's dealing with their, something that's going on in their particular situation or life at that time. But I want you to understand this morning that our online ministry, our presence online, was never intended to take the place of in-person worship. Never. That was not our goal at all. And so when COVID hit, you know, our online services became a way in which we could broadcast the Word of God and minister to others. However, the shutdown lasted for so long, people got in a habit of staying home and watching online. You know, what is it? I think you only have to do something, 21 times, and it becomes a habit. And so people began to get in the habit of staying home and accustomed to watching on television or on whatever device they were watching on. And so, and many people today then have estranged themselves, have distanced themselves from the church. In other words, they have divorced themselves from the church. Now, I use that word divorced. I thought that would sort of catch someone's attention. But that word divorced in the singular means separation between things which were or ought to be connected. And according to the Bible, God tells us in our text today that we as believers are to be connected to the church. That means in person, not just online. So today I want to share this simple message with you about being divorced from the church. And in doing so, I want us to consider two things. First of all, and this is very simple, and I know it's simple, but I hope that you will get something out of this, and especially those who are watching virtually this morning. And by the way, let me say that I'm thankful for our virtual audience. Do you know that we're reaching thousands now compared to the few hundred that we have here? So online services is a good thing. But when those who are watching online begin to divorce themselves from the church and distance themselves from coming to corporate worship, that's not a good thing at all. It's not a good thing for the church. It's not a good thing for those who are in the virtual audience who simply refuse to come back to church. And so today I want us to consider, first of all, why did divorce in the church become so popular? Let me give you a few simple reasons why. Number one is comfort and convenience. Comfort and convenience. It's just that simple. Many people find it easier to get up on Sunday morning, late on Sunday morning, sit in their pajamas and eat their breakfast and watch it online. It's just that simple. I've heard people tell me that. Man, it was great to just sit home and watch church service online in my pajamas today. I don't know how many people told me that during COVID. You know, so it's just that simple. Then flexibility. Think about this. Even those who watch online, and I'm thankful they are watching online, but listen, they can be flexible. They don't have to watch at the time of our broadcast. They can watch it anytime after our broadcast. And so flexibility has become one of the reasons why people stay at home. And then there's no obligation. I want you to think about this. There's no obligation to those who watch virtually. In other words, they don't have any duty. They don't have any function. They don't have to have any engagement in anything. They don't have to come and get involved. They can sit at home and hear the Word of God. And then there is no accountability, which is vitally important. No one person is out they're not answering to anyone. In reality, they're answering to the Lord. Ultimately, they will answer to Him for their disobedience of not assembling together. We're going to talk about that at more length in just a moment. But no accountability. And then I think there's another reason, that is that some people avoid and distance themselves from the church, perhaps because they got their feelings hurt and they just don't want to deal with the issue. And so they find it easier now to stay at home and just stay away rather than dealing with any issue they have in their heart towards someone else. And I could go on and give you all kinds of excuses and all kinds of reasons that people would give for staying at home and just watching online and not attending in-house worship or in-person worship. But I won't do that. I'll leave that up to you. You can think about that, okay? Now, the next thing I want to deal with this morning is this. Is divorcing the church detrimental? And the answer is a resounding yes. It is detrimental. Now, everyone here, I want you to hear me. And all those in the virtual audience this morning, I want you to hear me. Not coming to in-person worship is detrimental to your spiritual life. It's detrimental in a lot of ways. And so I want to share some things with you now. Number one, it deprives oneself of Christian fellowship. Koinonia. It deprives you of Christian fellowship. We've learned in this series on I Love My Church, this emphasis that we've had over the last month, that Christians need deep connections with others. The Bible tells us, and God said this in the very beginning, that it's not good for man to be alone. God has created us for community. We're to be involved in community, and that's what church is. We are a community of believers. We are one body of Christ, but we are a community of believers, and we're connected through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are sons and daughters of the living God. And we're to be connected as a family, and attending in-person worship services and prayer groups and Bible studies fosters a mutual support and encouragement, especially during difficult times. I don't know what people do without a church family when they're going through tough times. Where do they go? They sit around in mully grub in their own pity. But they have no one to share with. They don't have any. Hey, listen, connection, being connected to a body of believers is so very important to God's people. And so we need to be connected so that we can support each other and encourage each other and strengthen our relationships. Secondly, one deprives oneself of accountability. And everyone needs to be accountable. But I want you to look back in our text, if you would, please. Look at what it says. And really, I have not got into the text itself, but here, beginning in verse 19, the writer of Hebrews is appealing to his audience for steadfastness, faithfulness, unwavering faithfulness. Look at what he says, and he says, because of this new and living way in which we've been consecrated through Christ, he says, having an high priest over the house of God, he said, let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, admonishing one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What's the day approaching? The coming of the Lord. And so here he gives us these exhortations and he says, this is what you're to be doing. In other words, he says here, and I love this, he says in verse where he's talking about, let us hold fast our profession, let us consider one another to provoke unto love. That word provoke there means to stimulate one another. Now, how are you going to stimulate another brother and sister unless you are in person, unless you call them over the phone? Or what do we do now? We text. I hate texting. The older I get, the more difficult it is to get my fingers to working on the... And I make so many mistakes, I just get frustrated. But I hate texting. But that's what people are doing today. They don't want to be connected. When God says we need to be connected. God knows us better than we know ourselves. He created us. And if He created us for a community and created us to be connected, why is it that so many Christian people do not want to be connected? It's important. Would you, and we know this happens in the family, but think about your own family. You know, sadly enough, it is to say, I mean, even in our family, there's some disconnection between us and someone in our family, and it grieves our hearts. We don't know why. We've never been given a reason. But there's no connection. There's no communication. None whatsoever. And I'm going to tell you, that hurts. That hurts. And it hurts me just as much, if not more, not only in my biological family, but my church family. I don't want to even think about being disconnected from you. I look forward to every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I look forward to every time that we're able to come together and assemble together in the house of God, because I enjoy your presence. I enjoy being with you, and because I love you. And the reason I love you and I enjoy being with you is because the love of Christ that's in me and the love of Christ that is in you. And God has placed that in each and every one of us as believers in Christ. And we need that camaraderie. We need that koinonia. We need that fellowship more than we realize. More than we realize. But the Bible tells us here in this text that we're to hold one another accountable. He says, let us consider one another, stimulate one another, provoke one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And so we need that accountability, but not everyone desires that accountability. Accountability is essential because it builds trust. It builds trust and strong relationships by fostering a culture of responsibility. I mean, if we hold one another accountable, then we should love one another enough to go to someone in our fellowship or whatever, wherever we may be. If we love someone, go to them. If something is going on in their life and we need to confront them in love, then we need to do that. Not only does that help us, but it helps them. But accountability motivates individuals to take ownership for their actions and to learn from their mistakes and to meet expectations. Hebrews 10:24 says, provoke one another, stimulate one another. To me, that speaks of accountability. And then thirdly, when one refuses to come to in-house worship, one deprives oneself of spiritual nourishment. Now, please hear me. I know that, you can get some spiritual nourishment from watching online, and there are so many preachers out there now online. I mean, they, you can still get Charles Stanley, some of the greats, Charles Stanley, Adrian Rogers, some of the great men, Billy Graham, and that's fine and that's good. But there is nothing like coming to your own church, sitting down with your own church family, and getting involved in a Bible study and being able to connect with each other, hear what someone else is thinking and feeling and experiencing in their life, and being able to share with them what you are thinking, feeling, and experiencing in your life. Iron sharpens iron. And we need that connectivity. We need that motivation in our lives. But we deprive ourselves of spiritual nourishment. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, there are a lot of people, and there may be some of you here today. Now, let's face the facts. Now, just be honest with yourself. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to point anyone out because I don't know. But how many of you come to church on Sunday morning? That's all you do. You come to church on Sunday morning. You're not involved in Sunday school. You're not involved in Bible study. And we have Bible studies down here every week, Monday nights. We have men's Bible study. We have women's precept study. We have Bible studies going on down here Wednesday night. I'm teaching New Testament survey now. We've been going through that for quite a while. We have Bible study here where you can get connected. You can hear what other people are thinking and saying and feeling. You need to be connected in a Bible study group so that you can learn and you can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can be fed spiritual food. Well, number four, one deprives oneself of spiritual opportunities, of ministry opportunities. Think about, we've got two that's about to go to Cuba and help in Cuba with Baptist on Mission. We have had groups going out. We've had two missions groups that just came in. I mean, there are mission opportunities out there here in our local area. We go different places in the States as well as overseas. There are opportunities for ministry, for missions. And when you're not connected to the church, you deprive yourself of those many opportunities that you have. And oh, you could come up with some yourself if you wanted to connect with, you know, someone here in our local area and do some type of mission project. And that's great. That's good. But have you ever gone on a trip with some of your church members, your brothers and sisters in Christ, or your local association, our Elkin Baptist Association? We're working together now and better than we have in all the years that I've been here. It's an awesome thing. But how can you do that when you separate yourself from the church? You deprive yourself of those ministry opportunities. And then number five, one hinders the church's ability to function and to serve its members. You know, I've gone through this, I don't know how many times, and we go through this briefly in our Next Steps class. And we teach about spiritual gifts. And the Bible tells us that every single one of us has been given at least one spiritual gift. When you and I were saved and born again, the Spirit of God came to live inside of us, and the Holy Spirit gifted us with the gift He wanted us to have. We didn't have any choice about it. The Holy Spirit gave us that gift or gifts. I think that a person can possess more than one spiritual gift. But we need to exercise those gifts in the body of Christ. That's why God gave them, so that the body can function as a body. We're a diverse bunch of folks, but yet we can cooperate together. We have unity, just like the human body. And Paul gives that analogy in the Scripture. And just like we all have hands and feet and eyes and nose and ears and legs, and they all have a different function. Every single one of them have a different function. But guess what? They all work together. The body with the brain works together. They don't work against each other. They work together. And that's the way it is in the body of Christ. And listen, think about this. When someone who is gifted by God with a particular spiritual gift, if that individual is not in the body of Christ and is not functioning with the body, then guess what? The body will suffer. It's just like if you were to cut my hand off, I'd just be a one-handed guy. Would my body suffer? Absolutely. It wouldn't function normally. It wouldn't function effectively like it once did. Or if you cut off a foot or a leg. That's the same way it is when people don't come to church who are saved and born again and they're gifted and they're not using their gift in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is suffering. And sometimes it hinders the church's ability to function. And then I think another thing is one dishonors the church. You say, what do you mean one dishonors the church? That's what I mean. One dishonors the church. You say, well, how is that? I want you to listen to this. I haven't done this in years, and I know that many of you, if not all of you, have not taken the time to read this in a long, long time. But we also teach this in our Next Steps class. Listen to this. Are you listening? Say amen. Okay, listen. This is what is called the church covenant. Some of you probably never read it before. But I want you to listen to this. The church covenant is a voluntary agreement by members of a Baptist church whereby they promise to conduct their lives in such a way as to glorify God and promote the ongoing of His church. Every member should study it carefully, refer to it often, and seek to live by it. It clearly outlines the obligations of church membership. The form of covenant is wide in use in Baptist churches as follows. And here it is. Here's the covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, we do now in the presence of God, angels in this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, which means not only financially, but in body, in gifts. The expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotions, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to abstain from the sale and use of intoxicating drinks as a beverage, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. Did you hear that? We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant. That alone, that statement alone proves how important it is for Christian people to be in church. And when we refuse to come to the house of God and associate with our Christian brothers and sisters in the Lord, to me, that dishonors the church. Not only that, but I think it dishonors Christ. It puts some discredit on His ability. Listen, think about this. Everybody knows, even some people in the lost world know that there is something different about Christians. And Christians, guess what? They go to church. Christians, why do Christians go to church? Because of what Jesus did in their heart and their life. He changed them. They are now birthed into His family and His kingdom. The Spirit of God is living on the inside of them. Therefore, they have the very nature of God on the inside of them. And that nature that lives in them tells them that it's right, it's reasonable, and they are to be obedient to God and go to church. And even the world knows that. The world understands that. That Christian people go to church. Now, that doesn't mean that all people who go to church are Christians. But it does mean, and it's just a common knowledge, that people who know God go to church. So to me, it discredits Christ's ability to change a person's life. They're supposed to have brought them out of spiritual death into spiritual life and out of darkness into light. If that's the case, then why aren't people in church? Why have people divorced themselves from the church? Next, very quickly, one's disobedience and failure to attend can discourage others and can prevent them from participating in church. Did you know that a person not going to church can be a hindrance to some other person? That's right. People are watching us, and we have a circle of influence. Every person has a circle of influence. And we either influence people in a positive way or a negative way. We either influence them in a godly sense or an ungodly sense. And I want to tell you something. People watch us. And if you profess to be a Christian and you were once involved in church, but now you have divorced yourself from the church, I want to tell you, you could very well become a stumbling block to someone that has been watching your life that thinks highly of you. What do they think about you now?
If you're no longer coming to church, what do they think about you now? Well, what happened to him? What happened to her? They were at one time very involved in Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, but now then, all they do is sit at home on Sunday morning. And by the way, do you understand what this verse that we're primarily focusing on this morning that says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. This whole idea that I'm talking about is the forsaking of the assembling, the meeting together. That's what that means, that you come together with others, not through some virtual screen, but you meet in person with other people so that you can connect with them. You can't have a dynamic relationship with somebody over a TV set or a screen. You have to connect with them. That's why God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And then next, Mary, I got to hurry up, get through with this. Listen, one's disobedience and failure to attend can not only discourage others and prevent others from going to church and be detrimental to their lives, but also when one deprives oneself of going to church, one disobeys the Word of God. That's the bottom line. You disobey the Word of God. If I'm looking at this in the right way, it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That is a command. That is a command from God. Do not forsake church. Now listen, I know, now virtual audience, listen to me. I love you all. I'm thanking God for you. I really do. God knows my heart. But listen, I want you to think about this. You can give your tithes. You can send your tithes to the church, and many of you do, and I thank God for that. You're being obedient in that area of your life. You can listen to the Word of God, and that's a good thing. You need to listen to the Word of God every time you can, whether it be this service or some other church or preacher that preaches the Bible. You need to. But listen, how in the world can you get by with the fact that what you're doing sitting at home and watching on TV or on some device is being obedient to this Word? You can't do it. You can't do it. So when you disobey the Word of God and you're walking in disobedience to Him, how can God bless you? Disobedience is sin. When you disobey the Word of God, you sin against God. And guess what? Disobedience over a long enough period of time equals discipline. Discipline. In Hebrews chapter 12, and the writer of Hebrews tells us about this, you know, about God's discipline. And he says here in chapter 12, that beginning in verse 4, he says, verse 5, says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Listen, you can be obedient to God in your giving. You can be obedient to God in watching, listening to God's Word. You can be obedient in a lot of different things. But if you're not assembling yourself together in among other believers, as God's Word says, you're being disobedient to God. And disobedience over a long enough period of time equals discipline. And the Bible says that discipline can be very grievous. And I don't know about you, but I don't want a spanking from God. I don't want God to have to exercise discipline on my life. But then he goes on to say in this verse, and listen to what he says here in the latter part of verse 25. He says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What's he talking about? He's referring to the second advent, to the coming of the Lord. Do you realize that every single one of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Those of us who were saved and born again, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will give an account of the things that we've done in our body from the time we were saved and born again to the time God calls us home, according to what Paul tells us in the book of Corinthians. And so we need to be careful how we live. God loves us, and He loves us enough that He will discipline us when we are being disobedient to Him. And when we disobey His word, we're disobeying Him. I want to share something with you I came across this morning, Liberty Annotated Bible. In some of the study notes there, it made this statement. Listen to this. This admonition that we're talking about here in verse 25 about forsaking not the assembling yourselves together, this admonition involves far more than erratic attendance. It involves the entire worship of Christ. Now listen to this. And is an outward indication of an inner condition. Let me read that one more time. It involves the entire worship of Christ and is an outward indication of an inner condition. In other words, if a person just simply don't want to go to church, don't want to attend in-house worship, there's something going on in here, in the heart. Ever since I was saved and born again, 4th day of February 1978, I have wanted to be in church. I've wanted to be in church. I've wanted to be a part of a church. And before I went into ministry, and it wasn't long, about a year, a little after I was saved that I went into the ministry, I have sought to be in church. If we moved from one location to another, first thing I would do is try to find a church home. Why? Because from the moment that I was saved, God put something in my heart. His love, a love for Him that motivates me and gives me a desire to obey Him. And helps me love others. There is nothing any more precious to me than my relationship with the Lord first and foremost, relationship with my family. And my relationship with you. You are my extended family. You're my church family. And I love you more than I can express with words. Only God would be able to tell you how much I love you. And it grieves me at my soul, at the core of my being. It grieves me to see people who were once heavily involved in this church, in person, in-house worship, to know that they're sitting at home on Sunday morning and they never come down here and give us the opportunity to see their face, hug their neck, and tell them we love them.